This recording is a production of Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2015 in Wytheville, Virginia, March 6th through 7th.
Practical ways to support the faculty. When I started teaching the very first year when I was hired, I found out at the end of the interview when I was ready to, I basically said I would teach. I found out that along with this position went, it also included being the principal. And I have worked in administration most of the years in which I've taught. And so I'm going to be speaking from that perspective, from a teacher, the support you like, and also as an administrator, looking at what teachers appreciate in terms of support. This is, to begin here, I have a question that asks us, what is it that sets a school apart from the homeschool? Homeschoolers, there's a tremendous amount of material available today that was not available 15, 20 years ago. They can easily get all the curriculum material that we use in school. And what sets us apart from other kinds of schools, from the public schools, cyber schools, or correspondence, or self-study, or you name it? There are many ways some people would say, delivering education today. There is, why would anyone pay their tuition, and send the child to school? It requires all this extra expense for building, transportation, which is not a minor thing, and so forth. Well, the answer is, I'll ask some questions first. Is it the building? Is it the building? You can build a building, and you can have a good building, and you really don't have a school. You can bring the children there. You really don't. The building is not the school. The curriculum materials are readily available, and you can sit down and order them, and you can put them in front of children, and somehow the children are supposed to interact with this material. Can't they self-teach? Is it a library or other facilities? Maybe we think, well, we need plenty of facilities, or is it activities? Do we need more for them to do, more other kinds of activities? Now, I assume you know where I'm going. The answer is the teacher. The teacher makes the difference. The teacher is all the difference. When the teacher walks into the room, something happens. There's a sense in which the teacher is the catalyst. In a chemical reaction, you can put things together. One of the most common ones is an example where you can have fuel and you can have oxygen, but it doesn't burn. You need ignition. You need enough heat to get that started. Once it starts, then it burns. And it's amazing the difference it makes if a teacher walks in or out of a room. And the way that teacher interacts with the students, the teacher who cares about the heart of the student, cares about the subject, cares about the future, cares about the community. The teacher is what makes the school. If you have some students and a teacher and have a log somewhere for the students to sit on, you can have school. Now, it's nice if you have some shelter. It's nice if you have some books. Those things are all extras. But once you have a teacher and students together, you have learning occur. And I don't need to spend much time on this, but just make the point. It's the teacher makes the difference. And in looking back over the years, I was in administration for about 33 of those years. And, you know, as a teacher, you look back and you like to meet former students. You meet a former student, and there's some connection you have, a whole variety of connections you have with former students. But there's also a connection I have. I never made the complete list of the number of teachers I've taught with. I would just guess off the top of my head, maybe 50 to 60 over the years. And when I meet a person whom I've taught with, there's a connection there, there's a rapport, there's something we've weathered some things together. We walked through some things together. And there's an unspoken relationship. It's a wonderful experience to have walked with teachers together in their daily work. And so our subject here is not so much, you do want to support your teachers. They are the school. And as Brother Lee said, this subject is not pay. So I do need to mention, you do in fact have to pay your teachers. Now, you might have a VS program. Maybe that might work for a year or two. The workman is worthy of his hire. And I remember one older teacher saying one time, she was being interviewed, or the board was checking up how things are going, and she did mention that actually each year she is needing to dip a little bit more into her savings. And that was a kind way of saying, well, I guess you would have to extrapolate from that what you want to if you're on the board. And so the workman is worthy of his hire. And there are ways of supporting teachers or gifts and kindness that are subject. What I want us to think about is all these other ways of supporting teachers. Now, I'll be alluding to, you have a handout that more or less, I'm going to walk through that. You can add comments to it. But what is it that teachers are looking for? What do they need? One of our concerns is how to find teachers in the first place, but it's very important how to keep them, because if you keep them, you don't have to find new ones. It's a wonderful experience to have all the teachers coming back next year, and the next, and the next. And I've had the experience of working with a faculty of maybe four or five, or in one school there was about 10. And there are wonderful years when everybody returned. And it's a wonderful experience. But that doesn't happen automatically. Teaching is a very rigorous task. It's a very intense task. It's a very, very personal. It's very much like working in a fishbowl. You can be seen from all sides. Everybody knows how you're doing. And you're being looked at by parents, by students, by everyone. You really are very much exposed. And teachers are looking for support. And so I'll say, to lay this out, there are two major models that schools have, depending on the size of the school or depending on how they've set themselves up. But the one model is one in which somebody in that school, somebody who's there all day, every day, or most of the day, every day, carries the responsibility of being the principal or administrator, headmaster, whatever you call that person. That person may or may not be teaching full-time. In most cases, he is, quite a bit. I always taught most of the time when I was principal. But that person then is there every day and knows the feel of the playground, knows the feel of how the children enter the building in the morning, the lunch periods, the classroom spirit. It's something over the years you feel as a sixth sense. When you're teaching your classroom, you're teaching there, if you're a principal and you are teaching and you might be explaining something, and another room goes out to a recess, and it's just a normal thing, there's passages in the hall. But if there's something unhealthy about what's happening out there, if you're an experienced principal, you will feel it. That's something needs attention here. And teachers themselves are looking for somebody to support them. So now, that's the one model where you have somebody who's given the responsibility to be alert to and to work with classroom culture and climate, to call teachers together for business meetings and do planning and plan programs, all these kinds of things teachers do as a group. It's very easy in a school, if you have two teachers, three teachers, no matter how small you are, it's very easy to have three schools under one roof. And you have one teacher here doing her thing, over here's another teacher doing his thing, another teacher doing their thing, and they don't necessarily feel that they're part of a team, or maybe they don't plan this, but unless someone pulls them together and gets them on the same page, sometimes they each do their, they kind of work parallel. And the ironic thing is that you can have teachers, the bells ring, they go in their own separate rooms and teach all day. Most teachers in a school probably have never, ever seen their fellow teachers teach. by the very nature of it. Now, you just think about that. They usually don't. And they don't really know how their fellow teachers conduct a class, because they never see that. And in fact, some principals don't, because they maybe don't have time to visit other rooms. But there's something about having these teachers work together as a team. Now, the other major approach that's used is to have some person named to be responsible to support the teachers in ways I'm going to be talking about here. And that is oftentimes somebody from the school board, maybe it's the board chairman, or it might be the minister or somebody, or maybe there's an administrator named, given the title, who actually is the administrator, principal, whatever you call him. But he's maybe not a teacher at all, but shows up at the school, and maybe daily, maybe a couple days a week, maybe that person might teach a couple Bible classes, but it's the principal. And that's the person that is supposed to be the point person for liaison with the teachers together, working through issues and so forth. And so how you set that up, that's up to you. As Brother Cam was saying this morning, in your community, you have to know what works. But what I want to walk through here is I want to share some things that teachers are looking for. So somehow these needs need to be addressed with whoever does it. And so one of the first things to do is to inform your teachers or communicate to them. One is your expectations. Do the teachers, especially if they're from outside your community and come in and teach, do they know what the parents expect? Do they know what you expect? Is there a job description to give them? And are their responsibilities outlined, tasks, limits? Are there limits? For example, if a teacher plans a field trip, does the teacher have a blank check to plan a field trip and take her students on a trip somewhere? Or if there's some teachers have ideas of things to do with their children that don't necessarily fit with the community ethos. And the more you can talk about these things before something gets planned that is awkward, the better. So inform them. Give them a job description. Help them understand your expectations. And occasionally discuss with them the ongoing successes and challenges. So whether this is the principal stopping by at the end of the day, one of my joys as a principal was to just step in a classroom. It only takes, it might not even take more than a minute, but just stopping by a teacher's room. How was your day? How did it go? And sometimes it's not that kind of a blunt question, but you might talk about something that happened in the day, and you soon get a feel for how things are going. But if you have teachers come to your board meeting, why, this ought to be a two-way conversation. How are things going? And they need to know if you're on the same, are we on the same page? And the more of a relationship you have, the easier it is if something seems to be happening that you're not certain about, that's a little awkward, out of the relationship, you can discuss that. You don't wait until some problem shows up. Don't wait until some teacher puts up a decoration on the wall that's out of place, and you say, oh, we don't do things like that here at the school. You need to try to head off things like that. You need to try to have an understanding with your teachers. And so discuss ongoing successes and challenges. Find out from them how things are going. Let them know from you and the parents. Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. Teachers ought to know whether they are doing all right or not. Specific examples. We appreciate the songs the children are learning. And we appreciate some of the activities that you're doing in your classroom. Know your teachers. On your paper, I have a little box on the top of your paper. This is something I picked up somewhere over the years. Just some typical teacher needs. I'll just quickly go through these. But the new teacher does need to be oriented to the school, and the teacher doesn't. It's amazing. You can have taught 5, 10, 15 years, but if you go into a new community, communities are different, and there is an orientation process needed. Older ones, there's some recognition. Now, I don't mean pats on the back, but recognition, appreciation for their service, and Look, the young ones are just starting out, especially if they join a group of teachers who have been in there for a number of years. They need to really be appreciated and known. It needs to be made known. We're not just looking at you as a rookie. You're part of us. And inexperienced teachers need skills. This is one of the most difficult things for a teacher to face, is being put in a room, being expected to teach something that you don't know how to teach. And it typically happens with almost every teacher. There's always one subject that you're not strong in. And so you're expected to teach, and along with this comes teaching art, for example. I don't know how you would feel about teaching an art class, but you're supposed to, this is on your plate. And it's amazing what something comes around just once a week. It's amazing how much energy that can take out of the total expectations for the teacher. You might have math, science, history, English, and you're teaching all these every day. But then there's this thing called art, or maybe it's the music or whatever. One of these things that comes around maybe once a week. And sometimes those things are disproportionately discouraging to teachers. The experienced teachers need a bit of freedom to use their experience, and cooperative, don't overuse them. Uncooperative, motivate them. Weak teachers need some security. Strong ones, give them an opportunity for leadership. If they're functional, doing well, give them freedom to function. And if they're dysfunctional, yes. Somebody needs to come alongside them early on and help to diagnose just what the problem might be, help and support them. And last of all, substitute knowledge. A few weeks back, I substituted for a few days. And guess what? It doesn't matter how many years of experience you have. When you walk in, there's this things you want to know immediately. Where's my room? Where do I go? And which class shows up first? And there are just a few basic pieces of information that you need in order to function. And so every teacher has these things. Now, know your teachers. As a board, as a leader, learn to know your teachers. Know your teacher's strengths, every teacher has them, and limitations, everybody has limitations. And this is both on the personal level and on the professional level. When I say personal, some teachers are very strong at interpersonal relationships, and one of the, there are perhaps two major kinds of teachers. One is the ones who really like to relate to people or to students, and teaching is a good setting in which you can do that because you get to interact with people all day. But in order to do that, you do have to understand your subject and be able to teach the subject. And then the other extreme would be those who really like to learn, they like the subject, they love history, and school gives them an opportunity to exercise those loves and skills. But then there's this thing, you have to deal with children too in order to do that. And so if you have a teacher, oftentimes a teacher has strength, and they may or may not know what they are. And so just understanding each person's strength and limitations helps you. You'll know what areas to watch out for and what areas that teacher might need additional support with. Some teachers can do a fine job of teaching, but they're very poor, perhaps, at relating to parents, very poor at communicating with parents. And so if you know that, maybe they know that too, why, you know that's an area that they're going to need additional help on. And then the flip side might be that teachers are very good at relationally, but they just really don't know how to go planning a lesson, and they're going to need some more help in that area. So know their strengths and their limitations. Does this teacher have the ability to manage a class? That is something that really does need to be learned. And don't assume that just because the person's interested in teaching that he or she can manage a class. And there are ways of helping a teacher do this. I have in a folder somewhere at home, I have two evaluation forms. The very first year I taught, 21 years old, I don't remember the arrangements there, but the school board did arrange for an outside person to come in and sit in various classrooms in the school. I was the principal that year, just my first year, and someone sat in, and there was this check sheet, and he talked with me after school and just talked about some approaches to teaching, whether it was question-asking skills or illustrations and so on. That was a wonderful support. As a board, if you don't have someone among you to do that, you can find somebody to come in. And what's as discouraging for a teacher as knowing that they have a problem and not knowing what to do about it is the flip side. Some teachers are doing well and don't know whether they're doing well. Nobody's ever told them. Nobody has ever sat and observed them teach and given specific examples of this and this and this are some things you did well. When that student asked a question that really had nothing to do with the subject, the way you handled that question, that was done well. And so teachers do need, especially young teachers, they do need an affirmation if they're doing well, and an affirmations are not really significant unless they can be specific, unless you can point out specific things that you are doing well. Can this person manage a class? Can the person master the content? And this is different in some subjects than others. A person might, oftentimes there's an area, it might be in teaching math or it might be in teaching grammar, but the teachers need to know themselves, and you also need to know somehow what your teachers need more support in. Mastery of skills. Can these teachers, if the teachers to teach Algebra 1, does this teacher actually know Algebra 1, or is this going to be that the teacher is learning along with the students that year? And then, furthermore, does the teacher have the ability to teach lessons? It's possible to know algebra very well, possible to know all your history, to know grammar very well, but that doesn't mean that you can teach it. The ability to see what it is that needs to be taught in this lesson today, and knowing where your students are, and being able to bring them together, that's a skill that's needed. And does a teacher have that ability? The teacher may or may not know whether he has that. Someone ought to, at some point, somebody needs to stop by and see how teachers are doing and be able to specifically affirm them and encourage them and also point out some areas that they could improve in and also be prepared to support them and help them to improve in those areas. Are there some specific limitations or challenges? And some of these can seem a bit awkward. Maybe a teacher doesn't know how to spell. And as soon as he or she starts writing on the board, every third word is misspelled. This is somewhat embarrassing to teacher and students. Or maybe the teacher can't write in a hand that the students can read. Maybe it's illegible. Is that a problem? Well, we try to get around that by using, you don't know how my handwriting looks if I have everything on the screen here. It almost seems like there's an inverse relationship between the use of technology and handwriting skills. The more we use this, the ability to write legibly seems to go down. But it's interesting. The way the teacher writes on the board, the students will not, there'll be an occasional student who will do better than that. But most won't. If the teacher is here somewhere in a certain level, the students will be somewhere below that. And so these are just, might sound like some picky things, but a teacher's speech habits, or maybe a teacher has some past failures or some fears. And you need to, if a teacher really has some blockages like this or some issues, you need to know, you and that person shouldn't, these are not insurmountable, but how will we address these and what will be done about them? How significant are they and how will we address them? Understand what your teachers expect. Here's a list that's not on your paper. I do actually have, I've just brought a couple of masters along. If you really would like this list, why, I'll make them available to the registration table back here and they can pull a few copies off. But some years ago, I think it was maybe in the 80s, I was working at the faculty of about 10, and I asked them, I gave them a blank check, and I had them come up with a list of what they were looking for from a principal. What are you expecting? And we kind of organized these more or less in a, in from top priority down. Now, when I say from the principal, there, this is what teachers are looking for from a helper. Every teacher wants somebody that I can go to that's accessible as a sounding board when I'm frustrated or with questions. And I won't read these all off to you, but I'll just point out a few here. The second one there, they expressed they want somebody, this administrator, who is willing to listen and understand and consider their requests, their ideas, or frustrations without being judgmental, to listen to them. And a third one there is a key one, supportive of teachers. When you're this person who works, when you're involved in administration, whether you're the board rep or the principal, whoever you are, you're in there for everybody. You're for the teacher, you're for the students, and you're for the parents. And sooner or later, probably sooner, something will happen. And you're going to hear a story from the teacher's side, from the parent's side, from the student's side, and each one will be different. The teachers are in there every day, and they need to know absolutely that they can depend on you. You are with me as a teacher. But the students and parents need to know the same thing. And so you who are in a position to give this kind of support, you need to, everybody needs to trust that I'm for you. And there will be some hard things will come up. It might not seem like I'm for you. But you have to be honest and supportive, and there'll be things that you disagree on, but they want, and they also, moving on, yes, teachers are looking for somebody when they are not sure what to do. They need somebody to turn to for support, for discipline. And they need to know that if they turn, if they make this move, they say, here's an issue, I've talked to a parent, whatever, and we're not getting anywhere, we need help. They need the comfort of knowing that somebody's going to pick this up and somebody's going to take a hold of it and do something with it and not just just listen. But it needs to be a person who can support the teacher and not do it for the teacher. It's very easy when you work administration to undercut the teacher by doing too much yourself. It takes a lot of wisdom to know how to help that teacher improve her teaching. Many times when there's this discipline problem, the first thing to do is to do a better job of teaching. And so knowing how, and this leads to the next one. This actually, I think, was probably one of the highest ones. Ready with suggestions for teachers to consider and try. When they have a question, whether it's from books to read for story time, whether it's how to talk with a parent, whether it's how to explain something, they want somebody, when they express this frustration, they want somebody who will give suggestions to consider and try. Now, that doesn't mean that you will have all the answers for them. But if you're the person who's to support the teacher, you need to, as we heard this morning, say, I don't have the answer, but we'll work on this. This might call for some expertise that I'm very likely to call for some resource person or some ideas from somebody from outside the school. And this next lesson, accessibility. It's very important to teachers. When they have a question after school, as principal, after school, my door is always open. And any teacher is welcome to walk in any time with any kind of question, whether it's how to spell a word, or whether it's a question about whatever, accessibility. They appreciate that. And here's a few others. They appreciate confidentiality. It's very, very high, confidentiality. And an interesting was, they appreciate an administrator who's not afraid to say no. They do not want you to say, yeah, sure, right, everything they ask. They want you to respond with some, oh, well, did you consider what that would cost? Or whatever. And last of all, cooperative and logical and decisions, not arbitrary. So, these are some things teachers are looking for. These are things they're looking for support, and they need to know who that person is to turn to when they have questions. Now, provide supervisory support for your teachers, and they need to, by a designated person, principal, board chairman, whoever that is, with routine visits. And when teachers should be encouraged to see somebody visit, you know, we're here to support you. And when you enter a classroom to sit and observe a class, you're there to support the teacher. We're working at this together as a school, and we're here to support you. And another question in a follow-up is, what can we do to help? What questions do you have? What's your biggest frustration? And what issues are you facing? An issue is something that flows out of something. Back here is a water fountain. I already pushed the button several times, and every time there was an issue with it. And the issue was water, and I drank it. And the word issue refers to a flow, and we often have the view that issues are bad things, and sometimes they are. But an issue comes out of something, and as we work with children, as we operate a school, there are always issues that develop. And sometimes issues develop that the teacher wants help for. Is there a particularly difficult subject? And sometimes as you stop by, you can't talk about everything every time, but sometimes just as a teacher, when you stop by a student's desk, you know, some students will raise their hand all the time if you would go, and you can create dependency that way. But then there's that student who, if you stop by her desk and say, do you have any questions? Sometimes they, oh yes, they do. But they would never ask if you wouldn't stop by and offer it to help. So the same way with the teacher. Is there something giving you a challenge? And these can be really different kinds of things. Is there a subject? Is there a lesson that you're having difficulty with? Is there a particular student? Or is there a class? How many of you have ever had a, quote, problem class go through your school? A group of students that just seemed, as each year as they moved up, they took their problems with them. Anybody? Who knows what I'm talking about? All right? Yes. And sometimes it's a class. And a teacher needs help to deal with that. And so there's a whole variety of things like that. So respond, help the teacher solve issues. Sometimes, before I touch this, sometimes there is a challenge in balancing workload. The teacher might say, well, I have all these things to do. Which do I do first? I can't get them all done. And they need some help to work through things like that. Respond to teacher requests. It is important as you stop by and talk with them or evaluate them, and there are questions, respond promptly. Now, that doesn't mean that you can solve all their problems, but do give some kind of response, whether it's requests for supplies, repairs, or help. Give some kind of response to that so they know you care. After a classroom visit, use some kind of a follow-up form. Teachers do appreciate if you stop by and visit the classroom to know what you think. Last year I shared a session on this, and this is just a form here. Again, if you really would like something like this and don't have it, I do have a master along that you can ask for a copy of this. But some kind of a simple check sheet to, and it makes a difference whether this is somebody, whether it's the principal or the board chairman stopping by, or whether it's just a visitor. Your teacher also needs to be protected. This is another way to support them. Protect them from a demanding parent. There will be that parent who might send a note in saying, don't send any homework home on Thursdays for Johnny. And another teacher says, don't assign any book reports to Jane during the month of March. Another teacher says, during May, we have Ruined Family Bible Memory, so don't assign any Bible Memory in May. What's a teacher supposed to do from these unilateral requests from parents? And so Do parents request it? How do you handle this? The parent who says, maybe a parent says there's a certain book in the library, and the parent says, take that book off the shelf. It shouldn't be in there. Well, there are parents who will make requests, and they might be good requests, but how do you, the teacher needs help. And unless you ask, you might not find out that the teacher is having a challenge here. Or the impossible student. There might be a student who reactive attachment disorder, for example, that it isn't a learning problem at all. There's if you're dealing with some children today, especially children with issues like fetal alcohol syndrome and so on, there are issues that if the child's going to be in the room, you're going to have to really provide help for that person. Help teachers improve. Provide training opportunities, classes, workshops, in-service activities, at-school in-service activities, perhaps opportunities to visit other schools, read or discuss a book, share brainstorms, and provide a mentor, especially for young teachers. That might mean finding somebody from another school or another community or maybe a retired teacher or somebody for that teacher to turn to. And so as a school board, you might not be in a position to actually visit the classroom and evaluate how the teacher's doing, but guess what? You're the directors, so you can find somebody, if that means finding some retired teacher or somebody, and asking them to do that for the board. So there are ways you're getting these jobs done. If you see the need for it to be done, there's a way of finding it. Provide adequate resource materials for the teachers. And then I'd like to finish here by sharing a few other ways of supporting teachers. These are things you can share with parents and parent-teacher meetings. But parents ought to pray. Children ought to hear their parents praying for the school, for the teachers. And communication. Parents' notes can be very powerful. Encourage your parents to send in little notes. Just something as small as, we're really enjoying singing that new song that you learned last week. We're enjoying singing that as a family. Just little notes like that, little gifts, and open and honest communication. Parent involvement. It's amazing how teachers can feel supported when parents visit school, stop by, show up for parent conferences, and so forth. Give occasional gifts. Be involved. And support the work of the school at home. Listen to children's memory passages. Discuss school activities. Provide a time. For the ministers, teach and encourage. It's amazing what a short visit of a minister can do. A few years ago, I think it might have been Peter Dick, but one of the ministers from up at Elmer, Ontario, at a COA meeting I was at there, he said, a group of ministers were going to meet at the park at the school and then carpool to some meeting one day. Well, he showed up before the other ones got there. He knew it was probably going to be 15, 20 minutes before they got there. So he decided, instead of just sitting in his car, he'll go in and visit the classroom. So he went in one of the rooms and sat there in the back of the room. But with his presence for 15 minutes, he saw some other cars pulling in. Then he left, didn't really talk to the children at all. But that teacher later spoke to him and said, Peter, I really appreciated you stopping in the room. She said, when you left, the room just felt different. Your presence there, I'm adding my words here now, did something to the spirit of the classroom. The children were encouraged. And it's interesting, ministers, both their silence and their words count. What you don't mention isn't important enough to mention, perhaps. Maybe you think of it, but you don't mention it. And it's amazing what a few words can do. Just a few words, either publicly or privately, where you encourage the children in a sermon, when you talk to the children, wherever, encourage them to be kind. Encourage them, just remind their children that the Word of God that they're hiding in their hearts now and their school assignments will be with them for life. It's amazing what one sentence from the minister can do. Showing that what is being done in the school is important to you. Again, the congregation, the children should hear parents pray for their teachers and visit informal contacts. as ministers, just meeting the children, encouraging the school children. And then the supporting community, pray, pay, and participate, show interest, show up at school programs. So there are a variety of ways, and teachers feel this. And all these ways of interacting with one another, many times, you know, even if the finances, if there's a struggle for the finances, some teachers feel so much a part, so much an organic part of the community and the school that they really would like to stay there and teach even if they couldn't afford to. It's like the old saying is, if you were a farmer, you know, what would you do if you had $1 million? Well, I'd farm until it's all gone. Well, as a teacher, you know, I would teach until I, so if you're not, but in conclusion, in looking back, one of my fondest memories as working in administration is the privilege of working with co-teachers and working as a team. And even though we're in our separate classrooms, it's amazing how these little chats after school and supporting each other. And as a principal, as the person who's in charge, you can sometimes it involves having just directing a teacher to help another teacher. Sometimes you're aware that a fellow teacher might be that teacher's resource, and you need to be the liaison there too. And so it's a wonderful opportunity that we have, and this is really the heart of our schools, our faculty. And let's God give us grace in practical ways, day to day, to in very real ways stand behind them.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders Educational Programs. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.